quite newsboy bumper music, but we do have some changing focus here a little bit. We got Mr. Patrick Doyle in. He's a local area counselor, Christian counselor. And the number to his office is 301-5500. But the number today where you don't have to make an appointment, you don't have to pay for it, is 776-5368. Or toll-free 1-800-373-5368. Were you there last night?
I did go. I took my kids and my wife. It was rocking cool. It was awesome. You know, what's funny is because years ago when I went to Applegate, John Micah, the lead singer for Cutlass.
Right.
Weird.
Really?
You know, it's you see that kid all grown up and all these years later, and that one stage dive that... Jump, he took off the amps and he spun around. I was like, dude, that was cool. Back in the day, I could maybe almost do that.
Well, you know.
It was cool to see him, though, and it's cool to see him, you know.
Yeah, he.
Working for God.
A little north and south rivalry there with the Cutlass crew, you know, which is kind of fun to watch. And then they put on a great show last night. The whole thing was great. And
the Newsboys are just off the hook. That's all there is to it.
Well, they're, you know, the full gamut from kids, and I mean young kids through teenagers, mm-hmm. all the way up through us worn out rock and rollers, yeah. You know, better known as baby boomers. I mean, he did the full gamut there last night.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was amazed how many young kids, I was talking to several youth pastors, and they used last night as a, not only to bring their kids,
right.
but have their members of the youth group bring friends from school.
Sure.
It was a perfect venue.
Absolutely.
As a means to introduce people to, you know, to the Lord last night, and they used it.
Absolutely. And, you know, it is an absolutely great opportunity for us to use it as a tool to invite people into the Christian world, you know, because
right.
I think it's, you know, they, when someone says Christian concert, people just instantly go, yeah. I don't. But if you go to a Newsboy show, I mean, they're a top shelf act, whether you're talking the world or otherwise. I mean, if you're a concert connoisseur, I mean, if they'd have been on the outdoor amphitheater,
yeah.
it would have been even more off the hook.
Yeah.
Because they'd have been able to get their full
yeah.
set of gear up. But funny story, 1980 something, I worked for a guy here in town who was a concert promoter and a booking agent, and he was the guy who was behind Servant. Remember Servant?
Oh, yeah.
They were the first real big Christian band.
But they're now part of the Gaither group, aren't they?
I don't, you know, I don't know. Isn't everybody at some point?
Sooner or later,
isn't that where you, like, go to retire?
Sooner or later, you're with the Bill Gaither sing-along.
So, but anyway, we're sitting in his office, and we're there with the band White Cross, which was one of the... Remember White Cross?
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, they're with the Gaithers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, they're sitting there with... we're sitting there with White Cross, who was one of the bands we booked, and he's got a demo tape of the Newsboys.
Yeah.
And so he's, like, playing it, and he's like, what do you guys think? Should we maybe... Should we give him a shot? Should we, like, get him... be their booking agent? You know, what do you think? Is it good enough?
And
he's like, I really think they're good enough. I think they could go big. And I'm like, I don't know, you know.
I look at them last night.
Yeah, so then I went to the, you know, Steve and K-Dove, thank you very much, hooked me up with getting backstage.
Yeah.
And so I was talking to him, and I said, you remember, I said the guy's name. He's like, oh, yeah. You know who, you know where he's at? You know, and anyway, so I told him the story, and I said, you know, I would have made the wrong decision. Someone throw my wisdom.
it was big time stuff.
Yep.
I mean, when you saw that runway out there, you're going to go, oh, no. I went over there, you know, midday, and I was looking at it because we had to do some things over there. And
right.
I'm looking at the setup, and I see those big video screens, and I'm going, uh-oh, this thing is no small show.
No.
And you look out in the parking lot, and you got about 4 18-wheelers. You got about 5 of those buses. They're all pulling a trailer. There's about 3 or 4 rider truck, rental truck.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was packed full of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, uh-oh.
Dude, the hardest working people in music industry are those roadies.
Oh, man.
They remember years ago when I was in the business, we brought Petra in. And I'll never forget, their bus showed up. It was the Josh McDowell Petra tour. Remember that?
Right.
And so the bus... All the semis pull up, and they have these big sleepers on the back of those semis.
Yeah.
And you open it up, and on each side is 3 bunks. And I'm serious, it's like a submarine. There's like, you know, a foot and a half between.
And that's where they slept.
And so those guys get out. When they show up, they load the stage, set everything up, do the show. They unload the stage, and get back in those sleepers and go on to the next city. Yeah. And that's all they do.
Well, they were down and out and headed for Reno.
Wow.
And so, but anyway, big show last night.
Great show.
I hope people understand the perspective of that. I mean, some people, you know, these are not church services.
No.
I mean, I don't
know. Well, it got pretty close a couple times.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's some genuine worship going on there, and I want people to understand that. But these are seen as incredible outreach opportunities for all ages.
Yeah.
And yes, it's a form of entertainment and all that stuff, but I have to tell you, you can't tell me ministry wasn't taking place last night, because it was.
It was. And you know what? Newsboys, one of the things that's good that I love about them is they have written some fantastic lyrics. Mm-hmm. Their songs are worship songs all over the world now. Yeah. And, you know, when you're singing a song about, you know, worshiping God, people, they might be jumping up and down, but they're still hearing the scripture that's embedded in those lyrics. Yeah. And, you know, that's a beautiful thing. And to hear him quote scripture in the beginning of the concert, you know, and I just think, how can you go wrong with that?
Well, when you saw, you know, a couple thousand people raising their hands and worshiping the Lord, you kind of go, you know.
And there's these two little girls right in front of me.
Yeah.
And they're like maybe 7, 8. And they got their hands up and they're worshiping. And my, you know, I hope my kids aren't listening, but they never raise their hands in church. Like, what's going on? Here they are, jumping up and down, you know, singing out loud, yelling and screaming.
You're like, two boys?
Yeah.
See?
I'm like...
Well, that's like, because you're watching, Dad.
I was doing it, too. That's probably why.
Well, anyways, a great...
it was.
Great concert, great outreach, and a lot of fun.
It was.
Wow. So,
so
what's on your mind today, pal?
Freedom.
Freedom. Well, you had plenty of it last night.
Yeah, I had just a few hours of it last night of freedom.
You know, it's interesting because I did. I had a few people corner me, and a few. I tell you what, I really found fun. I forgot to mention this on the morning news. I'll talk about it maybe tomorrow. But I was walking out because I ended up parking three counties over, and I had to go through all these, you know, cars to get to where mine was. And I'm going, and I started reading bumper stickers and church. Insignias on the back of cars, you know, and I saw all this stuff. There were some great lines, you know. But the best bumper sticker that I saw as I was walking out was, Jesus loves you, but I'm his favorite. I mean, that is a classic bumper sticker. Yeah. I looked at that and go, Jesus loves you, but I'm his favorite. Okay, well, there we go. But, and then the other one was, it was on the back of this, was it a pickup? It might have been a pickup. Can't remember. But on one side, it had a Bud Light. And on the other side, it said, need him. I'm looking at this and I go, well, no, there's
finally, somebody's honest, finally. Honest.
They're I'm looking at this honest. And I go, oh. I mean, you know, I could just imagine the Lord walking up and down the aisles of those parked cars and reading the bumper sticker evangelism going on, you know. Funny. I mean, and then they had Hogs for Heaven, you know, with all the Harley stuff, you know. I just had a hoot walking through the parking lot reading all the stuff on the back of cars.
That's funny.
But anyway, I say all that to say that folks said, you know, what I got out of tonight was I got about 2.5 hours, 3 hours, where I unplugged from the pressures of life. I really just felt liberated, you know. So I don't know what that means, but... people are under a lot of pressure. We're supposed to be free, are we really?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, one of the things that they're talking about in their music is just that, you know, they got that song Freedom, you know. Yeah. But I wanted to read a little bit of scripture to sort of set the stage for our conversation about freedom, if that's okay. Is that legal on this station? Okay. And again, I'm reading out of the Message, Galatians 5. It's absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. Just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want and to destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. For everything we know about God's word is summed up in a single sentence, love others as you love yourself. That's an act of true freedom. If you bite and ravage each other, I like that. If you bite and ravage each other, watch out. In no time at all, you will be annihilating each other, and they will, and where will your precious freedom be then? My counsel is this: live freely, animated and motivated by God's Spirit. Then you won't feed the compulsions of selfishness. For there is a root of sinful self-interest in us that is at odds with a free spirit. Just as the free spirit is incompatible with selfishness, these two ways of life are antithetical, so that you cannot live at times one way and at times another way according to how you feel on any given day. Why don't you choose to be led by the Spirit and so escape the erratic compulsions of a law-dominated existence? So, this is the scripture that's right before the deeds of the flesh passage in Galatians 5. And now I'm going to read this passage, the deeds of the flesh, as rendered by the Message. When I read this, I want you to think about, those of you listening, think about this as sort of almost like a diagnostic tool to determine where you're at.
Right.
Does this describe your life? If it does, we need to work on changing that so that you're guided by the Spirit rather than by the flesh. It is obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. I'm in trouble already.
Yeah. You better finish this. Go on, quick.
Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage, frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness, trinket gods, magic show religion, paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition, all-consuming yet never satisfied wants, a brutal temper, an impotence to love or be loved, divided homes and divided lives, small-minded and lopsided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival, uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of community. I could go on. And I'm like, I don't know how he could go on. I don't know what he left out.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about that, and you look around, this is so pervasive, even in the church. And when you go back, he says, "Don't bite and ravage each other." Okay, there's a lot of that going on. But God says, "What happens?" It goes on and says, "But what happens when we live God's way?" He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Do you ever see a tree sitting out in the orchard going, "I'm making some fruit"?
Yeah, well.
No, you just drive by and one day, there it is.
Yeah.
Suddenly it appears. Things like affection for others.
Mm-hmm.
Exuberance about life. Serenity, which is something I talk a lot about. The peace that passes understanding. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our own way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. So he's drawing a very clear distinction. Which one would reflect, descriptively, which one of those things describes or reflects what the context of your life is? God did not come to bring about oppression. He came to free the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted. And what I see much of and I'm talking here to the Christian community, I see a lot of oppression and bound up people within the body.
From what? What are they bound up with?
They're bound up because they're living according to their own way. God says, if you live my way, things like affection for others, a willingness to stick with things, serenity, you're able to marshal and direct your energies wisely. Those things will begin, I will give those to you as a gift. They will appear like fruit in an orchard in your life. But if you live your own way, it's going to be, you know, stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage. It's going to be difficult. And so here's the thing. I say I wanted to talk about freedom, but it was really to get to this. It's a little bit of a bait and switch.
Okay.
I really want to talk about, so Look, there are people listening to us right now, Perry, who are involved in affairs. There are people right now who are involved in addictions and they know it. There are people out right there listening that are involved in pornography. There are people who know they're mistreating their family in some fashion. There are people who know they're cheating on something at work. There's people who aren't doing their there's people who are in sin right now listening to us. And God says, if you do, if you persist, it will cost you greatly. I've come that you might have freedom. My suggestion is if that's you, repent. Mm. Don't wait. If your heart right now, as we're talking,
but nobody knows.
Yes. Yes.
No, you don't understand. I have this secret arrangement with God, and 95% of my life is in order. And this little 5% that's kind of out of order, it's between God and I. We have it secretly hidden, so we're okay. Mm-hmm. He hasn't zapped me yet, so he must not be too upset with me.
The day is coming. Proverbs says that calamity, suddenly and without remedy, will overtake the fool. So if you're living foolishly and denying what God has clearly spoken, which is you are to live in a dependent relationship with him based on his standard, not your desires. If you believe something other than that, you are headed for a brick wall, an encounter with God's consequences.
And then you know what happens, because you get them after they hit the wall. I get them after they hit the wall. Or if they hit a wall and then they bounce on the floor and they keep hitting the wall. You know, sooner or later we get them, right?
Right.
Then they're mad at God.
Mm-hmm.
They're angry with him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Why?
Well, I think that sometimes there's some real legitimacy to being angry with God because the person does not understand who he is. So at that moment, I'm not going to judge them for their anger. I'm going to say, yeah, I understand you're angry, but you misunderstand who you're dealing with. I go back to the Isaiah 6 passage where Isaiah saw God high and lifted up and his train filled the temple. Mm-hmm. And Isaiah fell down on his face as though dead. Mm-hmm. And he said, woe to me. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I am from a people of unclean lips. I am doomed, in essence. He's going to kill me because he's so glorious. Now, a little side note. Nowhere in Scripture, when people fall back, like you see on TV, is that ever a good thing? Falling back in Scripture is always a sign of judgment. Falling forward, face down, is not. It's a sign of humility and recognition.
Wow.
So, Isaiah saw God, and it changed his perspective. So what happened at that point? God then, what did God do? He sent an angel to the altar, and he took a coal, and he went over to Isaiah, and he seared his lips. Mm. And then God said, stand up. I have wiped away your guilt and sin forever. Wow. So Isaiah in 1 second went from being deserving of death by God's hand because of his sin to being spared by God's hand. And then God said, who will go for me?
All right, now, let's move this back to the freedom stage.
Okay.
A lot of people are living under the guilt of their sin.
That's right.
And rightfully so. I mean, guilt is an emotion by God that gets you to do something.
Well, I want to clarify that because we've had this discussion before and I get real nervous here. Guilt, I don't think, is something God uses. Conviction is what God says he sent the Holy Spirit for. Conviction will reveal your sin, and it will draw you to God. Guilt tends to push people away from God.
Okay, you're absolutely right, and I stand corrected because you're given the right words there. So see, folks, I can be corrected, and I humbly surrender to the wisdom of this punk kid on the other side.
He'll spank me later.
No, you're right. You're right. And I think that's where we get messed up. I think our somatics is what gets us messed up.
It is. That's why I'm kind of dogmatic about it.
All right. So you get under the you're under the conviction. You're living under this conviction. And conviction is a good thing. I mean, that's the Holy Spirit tapping you on the shoulder.
Yes.
But true freedom is when you yield to that conviction and do something about it. Now, listen, you don't have to wait for the revival to come to town. Mm-mm. You don't have to wait for some preacher. Mm-mm. You don't have to wait for some formula to read a book. Mm-mm. I was reading the other day. That was me personally. I won't share that. But the point, it was my It was my knife to the bone and the marrow. And the
yeah. Dividing you asunder.
Yeah, it was. It was cutting me right down the middle. So I have to live with that one. But the point is, sooner or later, you got to do something about it. And guess what? It's right. best done in your own prayer closet.
Yes.
Get it done.
Yes. And see, here's the thing. The reason I bring up Isaiah is because God would be justified in killing him. But he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, look, he says, who will go for me? And I don't think Isaiah was like the kid in the back of the class who hadn't done his homework, who's like looking down, thinking, don't look over here, don't look over here.
Yeah.
I think Isaiah was like last night, jumping up and down with his hands in the air, mm-hmm. going, ooh, hey, let me do it. Let me do it. Mm. You know, why? Because he just went from sure death.
Like the donkey on Shrek.
Yeah. Yeah.
me.
Yeah, me.
Choose me. Choose me.
You didn't watch the TV with your grandkids again, had you?
Yeah, well, I know all the cartoons now.
You start quoting VeggieTales pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think Isaiah was like, wow, God just spared my life. I should be dead. And instead, I'm not only not dead, I'm totally, like, good. He, like, wiped away all my guilt and shame. What do you want? I'll do anything. What do you want me to do? I'll do it. It doesn't matter. Because Isaiah was going to do what he was going to do in response to realizing the score. God should kill me. He decided to spare me and give me great, abundant, unbelievable, overwhelming gift of his forgiveness, his wiping of the slate clean. And this was before Christ. So it just shows God doesn't change.
Yeah.
So I think when you see God that way, that look, he doesn't have to be nice to me. I deserve death. But because of Christ's overwhelming goodness, now I want to run to him in my sin because he's the only hope. I don't run away from him. Look, when I'm in full of sin, the best place for me to go is him. God, I am struggling. I am out of control. I need you. What I see over and over and over and over again is that people, when they're in sin, they run away from God.
Why?
Guilt. They are scared to death that he's going to do something bad, or they're guilty, or they've been told you don't confess your sins, you never let them see you sweat, you keep it all under the wraps, you don't ever go there, you keep it. God is not surprised. God knows exactly, in intimate detail, more than you, exactly what is happening. If you think that he doesn't see it, you are being a colossal fool.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the only place where there's power enough to change the problem. I was a drug addict. I am not anymore. Not because I went to the right meetings, although I went to a lot of good ones. Not because I did all the... No! God invaded me by his Holy Spirit, and that conviction has kept me sober for 20-something plus years.
You know, we're heading into a time, we're there.
Yeah.
Where this type of God intervention into people's lives, whether it's an addiction or a relationship or whatever the problem may be, you've gone to all the seminars, you've heard all the preaching, you've gone everywhere, you've chased everything there is to go out there, and they're all well-meaning.
Right.
But somehow it didn't connect with you.
Right.
I think we are literally coming to a time where that kind of divine intervention, that will be the seedbed of true evangelism.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look, if you think that you listening to this radio program or some preacher that comes on here on the Dove today, and just by hearing the information will change you, that is not going to happen. If God's Holy Spirit doesn't apply the truth to you, it will make no change in your life. You'll have a head full of stuff that'll make you feel bad because you can't do it. And you keep piling it on. And I've actually counseled people at times to stop listening to all of that stuff and start reading the scripture for themselves. Because at some point, you can't wait for somebody else to give it to you. God is interested in a relationship with you, not your pastor. I mean, pastors are great and a very big blessing in our lives, but they are not a substitute for our own intimacy with God. And the thing standing in your way is the flesh, which the scripture is very clear about. And God says, look, I've provided a remedy, my spirit, when you are in sin and when you do struggle. And I know there's a ton of people listening that are feeling that. Fall on your knees, go to a quiet place and say, God, please help me. I am in desperate need of you. And that is the most spiritual thing anybody can do.
Well, Patrick, you're setting up the next biggie. And that is, they'll go there. They'll do that, and I believe they'll do it sincerely.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even questioning their sincerity. Mm-hmm. But because there was no bolt of lightning, so the room didn't shake, the enemy will sneak in and say, nothing really happened. Yeah. Nothing really changed. Yeah.
And that's because they don't know the scripture.
See, how do you get them to accept this thing by faith?
That's because you don't know the scripture. Look, God is not going to say something he hasn't already said. He said, you want to know me? Look, I've written it all down for you. And in today's world, we got no excuse. You can get it on tape, you can get it on CD, you can get it on the radio, you can get it in paper form, you can get it in 5, 6, 7, 8 different translations, you can get it in large print, small print. Mm-hmm. You can get it. But you got to read it. You got to apply yourself to it. You got to go to that place and say, God, I'm going to shut off the radio. I'm going to shut off the TV. I'm going to sit down and read your scripture. And I'm looking for you, God. I desperately need you, God. Help me. Reveal yourself to me. Show up. I need to see you. And I'm not talking about a bolt of lightning. I'm talking about stuff that's absolutely what I like to call it's etched into your heart. It's you can't change it. You can't move it away. And that is what will heal all of that other stuff in your life. That's the answer. The answer is, isn't you coming to me to get, the 5 steps of good communication. Because if I gave you the 5 steps of good communication and you didn't have any peace in your heart, you'd never have the motive to be able to carry it out. Mm. You'd never have any follow through. And this is where things break down. People get the information, but they got no motive. If I have all the information and all the stuff I need to build a rocket to the moon, but I have no motive, I don't get anywhere.
Yeah.
And this is what happens. People get all the information, they get all supplies, but they got no motive. What I'm talking about is motive comes from a spiritual place. It's a response to an overwhelmingly good God who's loved you beyond anything you can imagine. And my life becomes a response to that, not a duty. Response always goes farther than duty.
Well, let me tell you about the duty part, because that fits in with one of the scriptures I was reading the other day. Mm. You know the scripture.
Mm.
It is better to obey than to
sacrifice.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
Yeah.
No.
You mean all the service is not what you're after?
Well, we think we got to fast. We think we got to do this. We think we got to do that. We got to go without. We got to do this. All of those things have its places.
Yeah.
But sooner or later, it really boils down to, you already know what to do. Obey it.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Just what are you saying there? Don't go through the formulas. Just do it.
Right. Exactly. So, I have to read this.
Yeah.
This is out of Isaiah chapter 1.
He's preaching.
This is out of Isaiah chapter 1. Right. And again, as the message.
Can you preach in a minute?
I can. As the message.
By the way, the message is great.
It is. When you come, this is God speaking. When you come before me, whoever gave you the idea of acting like this, running here and there, doing this and that, all this sheer commotion in a place provided for worship. Quit your worship charades. I can't stand your trivial religious games, monthly conferences, weekly Sabbaths, special meetings, meetings, meetings. I can't stand one more. You've worn me out. I'm sick of your religion, while you go right on sinning. When you put on your next prayer performance, I'll be looking the other way. No matter how long or how loud or how often, I'll not be listening. And do you know why? Because you've been tearing people to pieces and your hands are bloody. Wow. Clean up your act. Sweep your eyes clean of your evil doings so I don't have to look at them any longer. Say no to wrong. Learn, that's a process, to do good. Work for justice. Help the down and out. Stand up for the homeless. Go to bat for the defenseless. If you do those things, I'm guaranteeing you'll have some peace in your life. If you're doing the religious game and you're playing the game and you're going to all the meetings and you're doing all that stuff and your hands are bloody, God ain't listening.
What? Isaiah what?
Isaiah 1.
In the message.
In the message.
Read it. Hey, thanks, pal.
Hey, thank you. Sorry I was kind of wound up this morning.
No, it's good. Oh, you got oxygen in those lungs.